Hear the scripture from the Song of Songs, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The Shulamite says, "Black am I and beautiful, daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of the tabernacle, like the curtains of the temple. Do not stare at me because I am black, for the sun has burned me with its gaze. The sons of my mother were hot with me. They forced me to tend their vineyards. My own vineyard, the one that is mine, I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where do you graze? Where do you make to lie down?"
"Oh no, you know for yourself, most beautiful among women. Get yourself out in the margins of the flocks and graze your own sheep next to the dwelling of the shepherd you seek."
And from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. The Blessed One addressed them, "Peace be with you. May my peace reside within you. Guard carefully that no one misleads you, saying, 'Look, she is here,' or 'He is over there.' For the light of God already exists within you. Follow it, for those who seek it there will find it. Go forth now and proclaim the good news concerning the kingdom. Beyond what I have already given you, do not lay down any further rules nor issue laws as the lawgiver, lest you too be dominated by them."
I like to write my name over and over and over again, spilling lettered beauty across the page, engaging my identity. Miriam Hamigdaleder, Miriam, Tower of the Flock. Mary Magdalene is my name. I was named after my ancestor, Miriam Hanevia, Miriam the prophet, who hid her baby brother Moses deep in the bulrushes of the Nile to escape Pharaoh's orders that he be killed. Miriam Hanevia, Miriam the prophet, who led her people and who was herself led out of the land of slavery and oppression into the wilderness of freedom and release. With cymbals and dancing, joy and song, did she lead them, Miriam Hanevia, Miriam the prophet. Like my ancestor and namesake, Miriam, I too have hidden a cherished one deep in the bulrushes of my heart. I too have led a people and have myself been led out of a different land of slavery and oppression into another wilderness of freedom and desire. With lavish love and anointing oil, the deepest joy and most indelible sorrow have I led us. Miriam Hamigdaleder, Miriam, Tower of the Flock. Mary Magdalene is my name. But like my ancestor, Miriam, I too am being forgotten. The stories of my brothers, Peter and Paul, like Miriam's brothers, Moses and Aaron, take center stage in our religious texts and tradition. My story, my experiences, my teaching and my wisdom, like those of many of my ancestresses before me, remain largely hidden, though sometimes in plain sight, and yet unseen. Like my ancestor Miriam, I too possess a hidden thing that the rulers of my people seek to destroy: my very self, its deepest loves, truest stories, and life-learned wisdom. A liberator I must nurture deeply in the weeds until the time is ripe for its blossoming and release. I remember my days as a young girl, sitting at the back of the synagogue of my Jewish community, peering over heads and shoulders as sacred words from sacred scrolls sung themselves off the page deep into my own living being. I heard words from the Song of Songs. The voice in that scripture is the voice of the Shulamite, woman of Shalom, the Shulamite. Shechora ani ve'nava, black am I and beautiful, she proclaims. Shechora ani ve'nava. Sacred words of the woman of the Song of Songs, the woman of Shalom, who sings of her blackness, who exalts in her hiddenness, who, as the Song of Songs reads on, reveals herself behind a curtain and veil, in clefts of rocks and on mountaintops. She's like the God of my people, I would ponder when I heard the Shulamite's story read. She is like the God of my people, who also lives behind temple curtain and veil, speaking words from mountaintops, revealing in the night and in the silence, as the night and as the silence, a God no one ever gets to see, a black and beautiful and hidden God. Shechora ani ve'nava, black am I and beautiful, the Shulamite proclaims. And then this character goes on to say, the sons of my mother were hot with me. They forced me to keep their vineyards. My own vineyard, the one that is mine, I have not kept, the Shulamite laments. I did not know the meaning of all this, but somehow I felt it, and I knew it to be true. My own vineyard, the one that is mine, I have not kept. I lament. Miriam Hamigdaleder. Mary Magdalene is my name.
You see, I too have been enslaved by my brothers, forced to keep their vineyards, their bodies, their needs, their agendas, their stories. My own vineyard, the one that is mine, I have not kept. Where is the one whom my nephesh loves, I would call from my bed at night? Where do you shepherd your flock? Where do you make to lie down? Where are you, I would whisper in the night. And then one night, the voice of my beloved, the one whom my whole being loves, came to me like music, like the pounding of my own soul, answering me playfully and most seriously.
You know for yourself where your beloved dwells, most beautiful among women. Leave the land of your brothers. Get yourself out into the margins of the flock and cultivate the vineyard, the one that is yours, next to the dwelling of this shepherd you seek.
So I got up. I separated from my brother's control, repeating the Shulamite's words, now my own. I will rise now and go about the city. In the streets and through the squares, I will seek the one my nephesh loves. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he answered not. They found me, the guards of the city walls. They were angry with me, a single, unwed woman roaming the streets and calling out like an unbound prostitute. They beat me, they bruised me, they took my finery away from me, the watchmen of the city walls. Scarcely had I passed them by when I heard the voice of my beloved. I crossed the Jordan River as he was emerging from the waters of his baptism. I found my way to the place where he was teaching. A crowd had gathered there around him. I hid myself in the back of the crowd, peering over heads and shoulders as I had done as a young girl in the synagogue. And while he was speaking, he glanced at me, caught my gaze, and something passed between us. An energy and vibration filled my whole body. My sight opened and I saw his true form and my own, as light and fire and truth. And a love such as I had never known welled up in me. I waited for the crowd to dwindle, and then I sought him again. I sought him and I found him. I seized him and I would not let him go. We sat down. He looked at me My own vineyard was before me, and he saw it. He saw the vineyard, the one that is mine, the one that is I. He saw it, he honored it, and he held it with his attentiveness and listening. Mary Magdalene is my name.
Through my brief encounters with this beloved, but mostly in the space between encounters, I gained the strength to confront the demons that had bound me for so long to the powers of this world, to vineyards not my own, demons in the form of my hot-headed brothers and brutal guardians of city walls. These brothers and guardians, I came to realize, also exist as oppressors in my own heart, subjugators in my own soul, that prevent me from burgeoning into the living, embodied spirit I was created to be. I grappled with my own hot-headedness, my own anger and rage, contentiousness and judgment, my intolerance, indifference, jealousy, and greed. I wrestled with these seven demons that had coerced me into tending fruits not of my own living spirit, small, hard, sour grapes of bitterness and wrath. But eventually, I passed through them, just as I had passed through the guardians of the city walls who beat me and bruised me on the way to seek my beloved. I did this work. I did it by myself, in the wilderness of solitude, space, and cover. But I was not alone. I dwelt next to the beloved himself, who also grappled with demons in the wilderness, who also was guided by the companionship of two separate solitudes touching. I began to realize that seeking what I love with all my living being is not so much about seeking a person as it is about seeking a space, an inner virginal space, unbound by the demons that seek to control and enslave me. It is allowing the cords of love to pull me toward this place. It is welcoming the beloved to guard me on this journey as I guard him with respect, loyalty, and the fiercest joy. I began to think about how Jesus moved this path away from the tyranny of the oppressors toward the little point of nothingness, the image of God at the center of his being. The brothers and guards were hot with Jesus now. They fought, they argued, they contended with him. But rather than contest and defend, Jesus simply refused to play their game, to enter their power struggles, or exacerbate their divisiveness. He disengaged from the center of power and journeyed out into the margins of the flock, among the weakest, most vulnerable, the place to which he had summoned me years earlier. Mary Magdalene is my name.
I wanted to mark and honor Jesus' movement along this path, and so I prepared a feast for him. Like the Shulamite does in the Song of Songs, I took a pound of fragrant nard, and I drenched Jesus' feet in it, wiping them with my hair, kissing them, weeping. The whole house was filled with the fragrance of my perfume. They did not like that, the brothers. They argued, they contended, they angered over what they perceived was a waste. They deliberated, they intellectualized, they threw a theological tantrum over my free gift of love and anointing for death.
Leave her alone. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Soon after this banquet, the guards found Jesus. Like they had done to me earlier, they now did to Jesus. They beat him, they bruised him, they hung him up to die, these guards of the walls. And Jesus, he passed through them, just as I did, in surrender.
Jesus did this work by himself, but he was not alone. I stood there at the foot of the cross, catching his gaze as he had caught mine years earlier, speaking sacred words of shalom, straight from the mouth of the woman of shalom, the Shulamite herself. Love is as strong as death, passion as fierce the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of Yah. As he had held me, I now held Jesus in the fire of this love. I was there at his crucifixion. I was there at his burial. I was there at his resurrection and the 3 days in between. When the other disciples feared and fled,
I stayed.
When the other disciples took their grief home,
I stayed.
When Peter denied Jesus 3 times,
I stayed.
My heart stayed next to Jesus' heart the whole time, holding him in the deepest human love, weeping him into resurrection.
I returned home that day, my heart burning to tell my friends and family all I had seen and known, eager to share this good news of healing and liberation. Some of my friends and disciples opened space for me to share. Others of them strove to shut me down, to silence me, to set up to tend their stories of who I am and who Jesus was. But I also refused to play their game. I refused to contend for a place at the center of the fold, to keep vineyards not my own. And so, as I had done years earlier with my brothers, I too disengaged from this center of religious power and authority. I too journey back into the margins of the flock, into the weakest and most vulnerable places of the fold, where I met the one whom my whole self loves, where I find the work, the ministry that my whole self loves.
Like my ancestor, Miriam Hanevia, Miriam the prophet, I too have hidden a cherished one deep in the bulrushes of my heart. My very self, its deepest loves, truest stories, and life-learned wisdom. I too have led a people and have myself been led out of a land of slavery and oppression into the wilderness of healing and liberation. With lavish love and anointing oil, the deepest joy and most indelible sorrow have I led us. Miriam Hamigdaleder, Miriam Tower of the Flock. Mary Magdalene is my name.